Kick in the pants.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Gary Glass. I'm the director of the American Home Brewers Association for the BA. Before we get started, I'd like to remind you all to put your cell phones on silent or turn them off entirely. Unfortunately, Stella Jimenez Norfleet was unable to join us, had a family emergency she had to attend to. So Ginger will be focusing on the women and beer relationships portion of this talk. Ginger founded Women Enjoying Beer over 3 years ago when she saw there was a huge opportunity to address the world's biggest consumer market, a market that wasn't fully involved in the beer community. Women Enjoying Beer is the only women in beer education business driven by female consumer research. What do you want to know about women in beer? I think Ginger's here to tell you. Ginger can help improve your business and will gladly talk to you about it over beer. Her high energy, enthusiasm for the beer community, and passion are contagious, so don't get too close. She first addressed the CBC in 2009, regularly speaks, writes, educates, trains, and entertains various audiences. She was also included in a 2010 beer documentary for The Love of Beer. Please join me in welcoming Ginger Johnson.
Thanks, Gary. That was perfect. You're right, don't get too close. We're going to open with a little ditty that some of you may recognize, although it's certainly a variation on a theme.
Yeah, this is actually the original version. A lot of people don't know.
Yes, and this is Marty Jones. If you don't know Marty Jones, he is a genius in many ways. He likes to share a beer, too, and he is with the Wynkoop Group right now out of Denver, Colorado. Hit it, Marty.
Okay. I am woman, here we are. Someone's too big to ignore. I'm walking around your polo or a store. But your marketing and ads all aimed at dudes and dads, ignoring customers without no ads. Oh yes, I am blessed, but I don't want that on my list. Yes, I'll pay the price if you offer beer that's nice. If I want to, I can buy anything. I'm employed, I have a MasterCard. I am woman, I am a woman, see me drink in numbers larger than you think. And I know too much to go back and pretend. Don't suggest a cabernet when it's great when I crave as a local treat or hoppy IPA. Oh yes, I'm a wife and I drank it all my life. 2X chromosomes and I drink good stuff at home. So please tell me about your beer stash. I want class, I want some flavor. I have taste, expendable income. I am one.
Thank you so much. Yes, all right. Yes, indeed. So Marty and I just ran through that once, as you can kind of tell. All right, let's see. Is this thing, can everybody hear me okay? All right, great. So I am Ginger, and if you don't know who Helen Reddy was, that song was popular in the 70s with the Women's Liberation Movement, so it's a riff on that. It's commonly bastardized, quite frankly. And so it was a fun one to open with. Marty had me come out and do a workshop with the Wynkoop in January in Denver, and I didn't know he was going to surprise me with that opening, so that was a lot of fun. The idea of women enjoying beer is that we're looking at a market share. This really isn't a gender issue, it's more of an opportunity issue. So if you think about it that way, you're going to get a lot farther. This is not about plumbing, internal plumbing, this is not about anything else except the fact that this mercurial growth that the industry is going through and at the cusp of and going to keep going into will not be sustained with the current 70-some percent of men that drink beer. I just don't see how that's possible. Let me give you a little background. I started the company three and a half years ago, like Gary said, and I started it because I saw that there was a huge opportunity. I looked around and I thought, why aren't there more women enjoying beer? What is that about? And so I had gotten to know the beer community over the previous 7 years, and some of you are in the audience that I had gotten to know, and that exemplify the community, and I made a very purposeful decision that I wanted to put my passion and my life into something that I not only gave a damn about, but that I could really run with. Nobody else was doing this, and I thought also, like, why is that? Is there something wrong with this idea? Or why isn't somebody paying attention to this? The more I got into it, the more I realized there was more to get into, and 3 years ago, quite frankly, I really didn't know what I was doing. I mean, some brewers are the same way. You're like, oh, I'm so passionate about beer. I have to make this beer. But you have no idea where it's really going to go. To me, this has gone off the rails in lots of great ways, and it's very exciting, and I'm very appreciative that all of you have chosen to take some time today to sit in on this and listen. I do have a lot of energy. Gary's right. If you don't want to stand too close, you won't catch anything. Don't worry. But if you do, come closer. We are independent, meaning we are not tied to a brewery. We are not beholden to anybody but the female consumers that choose to speak up and feed the research. We do qualitative psychographic research. You might not know this, but you have another researcher in the room, the very accomplished Michael Kallenberger, who's sitting right up here. And I'm grateful to have some other research colleagues in the industry, although there's not very many of us. The qualitative psychographic research is the why behind the what. Let me expound. The why is the emotion. It's the reason we make the choices we make. Why do we choose this beer? Why do we go out? Why do we stay in? Why do I spend $20 this week? Why do I not spend $100 that week? All those drivers that come from our gut and our emotion that make the choices that we make. Think for a moment of a woman that you care about. All right? Have somebody in mind? Turn to the person next to them and tell them her name. Go ahead. It's like church. Okay? All right. Did anybody not think of a woman they care about? Okay, good. So if you think of that woman, if you think of those females in general, let me throw a few things at you. No, I don't cover the stats, but I do pay attention to a few of them because they are important. Did you know that more than half the global population is female? It's just the way it all works out. And did you know, more importantly, that 75 to 85% of all purchases in America are made by women? Anybody who's selling anything from Q-tips to widgets to beer that doesn't know that is missing enormous opportunity. More importantly, they're missing the opportunity to engage a huge portion of our population that makes a lot of very profound decisions every day. 75 to 85%. That should be enough to get people to pay attention. And yet, there's still a lot of people that aren't tuning in. So it's not exclusive to the beer community, but it certainly is something that you can do something with. I'm not here to paint a negative picture. I'm here to paint a positive picture. I'm here to open the door and tell you how easy this incredibly explosive opportunity is. And it's, I can't stand behind the podium, as you can tell, so I had to have a mobile mic. I'm going to be, watch out back there, I'm coming. Those are two really important things to keep in mind. Females make up the majority of the population on the globe. So if you are somebody from a different country, or you are exporting, or you're looking at any of this, this is still extremely applicable. If you're selling anything, from magazines to whatever it might be, and you don't realize that women are making those choices, influencing them directly, if not indirectly, this is your wake-up call. So then I would ask you this. Why would you not pursue that market share? I don't know. I can't answer that for you. You need to take a hard look at your brand, whatever you're selling, whether it's stainless steel or hops or beer or whatever it is. Take a look at that and see how it might resonate with women. Let me ask you this. Raise your hand if you respect that woman, you said to your neighbor. Okay, see, now nobody's not going to raise their hand. They're looking at a hole. So that's kind of a gimme exercise. But once again, the point is, you all have females and women you respect, right? Nod your head so I can hear something. Yes, okay. That's what the crux of it should boil down to. If you care about that, even just that one woman, if you want to engage her in this wonderful thing that we already all believe in, respect her and show her that respect in a couple ways. And I'm going to tell you some of those specific ways. There's no way I could cram everything into 1 hour. And I would have been happy to have Stella with me. I have not met Stella yet. She specializes in the multicultural, and she's got a lot to offer too. Hopefully we'll hear from her in the future. But there's just no way, even though I'm going to talk fast and you're going to listen fast, There's no way. I'll be around to the end of the conference, so feel free to tag me up. You'll hear me by my laugh. Chances are good anyway. Anybody who knows me can find me and spot me. Think about this. Is the buyer also always the consumer? Is the buyer also always the consumer? No. No. Now, I feel in some ways that I'm preaching to the choir a little bit. However, we can all keep learning. Please always remember that. Remember that the buyer is not always the consumer. When you go to the grocery store, who do you primarily see shopping and buying? Okay. Is it usually females? Majority females? All right. Right. We're not saying that men don't purchase. Don't extrapolate on your own without talking to me first. Because this is not a reverse discrimination issue. It's focusing on the market segment that has not been addressed. When women are in the grocery store, how many of you are brewers? Please. Okay. How many of you have your beers in grocery stores? Okay, pretty decent number. How many of you don't have your beer in grocery stores or liquor stores or wherever? Okay. Doesn't matter where your beer is, but it does matter who's shopping it the most. Next time, in fact, take a field trip. Give yourself a field trip. Go to these places. Do your own informal research. Take a little notebook if you want to look really subversive. Okay. And if somebody asks you, just say, testing the temperature of the room, or have some excuse ready. But do some informal research. It's really quite easy, and it's still applicable. Who is shopping? Who is buying? Who is pulling out that MasterCard that Marty sang about and actually making that person purchase? That's who you need to be mindful of. So then we go back to the psychographic research. Why are they choosing your brand? Why do I go through? Eugene, is your beer sold in the grocery stores? So Eugene Seymour up here from Alamo Brewing in San Antonio, Texas. I'm down in San Antonio, and I still haven't had one of Eugene's beer because he hasn't shipped me any, but that's okay. It's a different issue. You can send it as samples. You know that yeast. Yes, yeast samples. They're all welcome. So I'm in the grocery store, and I'm shopping. Why do I choose the Alamo brand instead of the Cold Spring brand? Why do I choose something over something else? Why is that? That's what you have to figure out. That's not hard. There's a lot to it. I won't kid you, but it's not hard. And when I say there's a lot to it, think of it as a pile of rocks. There are a lot of rocks on the pile. Start with one. That's the only way you're going to get to the bottom. Start with one. Be kind to yourself. Pace yourself. Plan it out. Just start. Grab that first rock and say, okay, what's the first one? Hot Topic, design and imaging. We're not going to even go there this morning or this afternoon because that's a huge topic unto itself. I had somebody earlier today tag me up and say, Ginger, if you were to point to a couple of really well-designed, consistent brands that reflect the quality of this industry, I mean, that's a little bit expounding on what they were asking me, but that was what they were meaning, who would you point to? First of all, I don't play favorites because that's a moving target. I do believe that there are some great brands to point to with consistent, solid, design-based labeling and imaging that are very effective. When you please the woman, you more than please the man. Let me say that again. When you please the woman, you more than please the man. And that doesn't mean the man is less easy to please. It simply means that women's expectations are different, and some of the concerns in their purchasing decisions supersede what some men think about. Because I am not a statistician, because I am not the quantitative, the demographic, the stats, I will generalize. Those are the kinds of terms. Just don't think I'm being evasive. That's how we look at things. A couple of brands that research has come back to me. When I do research, I'll sidebar here for a moment. When I do research, I do a lot of focus groups. Focus groups, pretty easy thing to do, quite frankly, but most of you don't have time to do it, so find somebody that can do it for you. Plus, the benefit to that is they are one step removed from the brand. If they're going to go to Eugene's brewery, and Eugene is there collecting the information, do you think you're going to get everything honest, open, and complete? Chances are good you're not, because they know he's the brewer and the owner. They're not going to want to offend him. He wants that information. Get somebody to help you with that. I don't care who it is, but look at that. The research we do then involves focus groups, very simple, small groups of women. I also do it remotely. I've done it via Skype, which is a great way to do things. That interests me. We all watch Jetsons. Well, not all of us. But some of us have seen the Jetsons, and woo, cool, I can see who I'm talking to. I don't know why Skype isn't more explosive, but that's a great way to touch your consumer, too. A couple of examples I would point to for very solid, consistent, brand-recognized design with female consumers, and this is simply what I have gleaned from my research. One of the top ones I always point to is Boulevard Brewing out of Kansas City, Missouri. They are extraordinary. That doesn't mean they're my favorite beer, although I do believe they're very high-quality beer, and I believe that's very much reflected in the branding and the thought that they've put into that. Bob Sullivan leads their marketing there in Kansas City, Missouri, and they do a great job. It's clean. There's no sexism anywhere. There's no pinkification. There's no pandering. There's no nothing but great beer in that label, in that box, on that image, on that website. That's a great example. A couple others that I believe design really strong that resonate not only with women but with men. But once again, I don't study men. I study women. Some of the other brands I believe this to be true with include Ninkasi, my friends at Ninkasi. And I say that because they've been really supportive of this because they get it. They understand that women like great beer. And this is not, I'm not paid to promote them or anything like that. This is on my own accord. And this comes up in the research. They like it. It's clean. It's simple. It's recognizable. It's always there. You know, I think some of the temptation, not being a brewer, but I think some of the temptation with some brewers is we're going to put out all these great series beers. Great. You know what? Never lose sight of your brand. Avery does it great, too. The Red A, for those of you that are familiar with the Avery brand, you see that Red A everywhere. It's on their tap handles. It's on all their bottles. It's on all their cans. You cannot get around it. That's a great example of branding successfully. Once again, the design is clean. We're not talking about the rest of the design, although they do obviously pay attention to their design. They realize that it's about the beer and that the brand image should be quality and consistent. If your consumer, and especially your female consumer who's in a hurry, she's buying the groceries for the most part, she just finished work, she's got the kids with her, or she's going to pick them up, or even if she's a single woman, you know, life is busy. Raise your hand if you got a lot of spare time. Right. Okay. Keep that in mind. If she can't easily identify your brand, guess what? You're going to miss out. She's got to know what your brand looks like. She's got to know that every time she wants to find a Firestone Walker, she can look at that label and know, boom. She might not even think about what's in the bottle because she already likes the brand. If she's convinced about the brand, sometimes the style doesn't matter. She's going to try it. Think about those things. They matter. When you have placement in a store, how much space do you generally have on the shelf? A few inches? Maybe a little bit of room for cases, things like that? This is quick, people. She's rushed. We're all rushed, right? We all are so busy we can't stand it. And with all the electronics and everything, my friends, I refuse to go to the handheld, although I suppose I probably should. But I have a good friend that tells me I'm still analog, and I like that. That's okay, because it's one less thing I have to pay attention to, but chances are good your consumer is paying attention. She's using the digital devices. She's doing all those things to try to make life easier, quicker, simpler, faster. If you've only got 2 seconds as she goes along that shelf, you better make those 2 seconds worthwhile, and you better make them memorable. This is not hard. Take a look at your brand. One of the things that any business person has to keep in mind, too, is you are not your consumer. I am not my consumer. We are somebody different. We are so close to it, sometimes we can't even see it. Take a step back. Get some other people involved. Talk to people that are going to give you their open, honest opinion. Don't talk to your cousins. Don't talk to your relatives. Get somebody that has no vested interest in your success. Get them to open up. Talk about it. They will give you incredible insight. We're going to get to something in just a minute, but I'm going to preface it. I put out a survey in January. It's 50 questions for women and their relationship with beer. Several of the questions I've asked before in numerous focus groups and research. And I tell you what, I got blown out of the freaking water. I thought I knew something. Well, I already know that I keep learning. I got dozens of replies of women all over the country with no return. I mean, I sent them some thank you goodies because everybody likes goodies, right? Some of you have swag, that's goodies. Everybody likes goodies. But with no reason for them to chime in, they did. And I got swamped. And it was great. The message in that is that women want to speak up. They not only want to speak up, they want to be heard. and they don't want to just be heard, they want you to do something with that information. Why should they speak up if they think you don't give a damn? How many of you have ever gone to a website? You get a receipt, right? On the bottom, fill out this survey. Tell us what you think. How many of you have any faith that they're really going to care? Really? No, it's too far removed. You've got to give them a reason to care about your brand. If you're going to ask them a question, ask, first of all, start simple. Don't just say, do you like our beer or you don't? That's dead information. Who cares? Megan says yes, Jason says no. Okay, boom, we just hit the wall. You need to find out why someone says yes and why someone says no. No, I don't like it. I've never liked beer. Woo! I love that opportunity. I love it when people say that. It used to just drive me batty. But I love it because you know what? It's a double door just swung open. Why don't you like it? What have you had in your past? What have been your experiences? You got to get down to the guts of why they're giving you that answer. I can give you some universal responses on that one if you're curious, because a lot of people are like, why don't women like beer? Well, first of all, they've always liked beer, and they will continue to like beer, and it's your job to make sure they keep getting into beer. It's not hard. One of the reasons they think they don't like beer is they had a bad experience. Yeah, I see some heads nodding. Yes, feel free if you feel so compelled to confess. Some of us drank too much. There was a bad keg. It went late into the night. We thought fishing and then drinking a keg at the riverside was a smart idea. You know, whatever it was. But was that the beer's fault that you got sick? Well, of course not. I don't believe for 1 second that any brewer in America of any size wants their beer abused and wants it poorly treated. Would you agree? I don't care. You know, get rid of the snobbery. Get rid of anything, if you have any, throw that away. That doesn't do any of us any good. You got to get back to the why. Why do you think you don't like beer? And then the challenge question. Then Olivia opens up and says, I guarantee you I can find a beer you like. All right, so then two reactions happen. Either like, oh yeah, prove it. Or, no, blah, 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 and off they go. The second one, you're not going to get anywhere until they're ready. Let them go. Let them go, because it's wasted energy. Go to the person who says, oh yeah? And then go from there. Because that's an open door also. What beers do women like is a question that I get a lot. Got it again today. Once again, that question used to drive me nuts. I love it. Would anybody care to give me their answer? All of them?
Good beer.
Good beer. Yes? Same beers I've been liking. I like that one. That's a new one. Let me tell you this. Raise your hand if you like flavor. That, my friends, is where it starts. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
There you go. It's about flavor. Why is this rocket science to anybody? Flavor, flavor, flavor. Everybody wants to like what they put in their mouth. It's that simple. If you don't like it, don't repeat it. I love it when someone opens up a carton of milk and like, oh, this stinks, smell it. No, really. You've already established that. You don't have to repeat that experience. If they like it, run with it or at least walk with it. Find a flavor they like. And when you're talking to women about flavor, make the universe so much larger than beer. So, I'm going to talk to Olivia, my friend over there from Empire Brewing, right over there. If you didn't know, Olivia started brewing beer professionally before she was of age, which I think is kind of cool. Anyway, I digress. Where was I going with that? Oh, right. Okay, so much to filter. So we open the door. Olivia says, I really don't like beer. I don't like beer. I really don't like beer. I really don't drink very much beer. I don't drink much beer. They're still a beer drinker, right? You just want to shake them like, no, you still drink it. You can't say you don't drink beer if you have a beer a year. That's still a beer. Still counts. So then we go back and I say, okay, Olivia, what kind of flavors do you like? And I would encourage you to preface it. Don't just start with that. Say, what kind of flavors do you like to eat? We all have to eat. We all need to hydrate, although we don't need to hydrate with beer, clearly. But we do need to eat. Start with a much bigger universe of flavor in food. Do you like coffee? Do you like chocolate? Do you like bread? Do you like this? Do you like that? Or turn it around. What kind of flavors do you like? Give me, what's one flavor that you like?
Oranges.
Carrie from Hangar 24, explosive growth. Oranges, great. Okay, Carrie, so what other kind of flavors do you like?
Coffee.
Okay, great. Get two or three answers from the consumer that you're supposedly serving, and you just opened your own door. What kind of beers would you suggest for her with coffee and with oranges? Stout, porters, maybe Belgians. There's a whole world of flavor out there, right? That's where the conversation starts. Flavor, flavor, flavor. Repeat after me. Flavor?
Flavor?
Flavor. Oh, come on. Flavor! There we go. Thank you. All right. Flavor is wonderful, and it's so easy to play with, and it's right there underneath our nose and in our mouth. Start with flavor. Does anybody have any doubts that that's where it needs to start? All right. If you do, get out. There's the door. All right. That's what kind of beer women like. The presentations I've sat in on so far this week are always highly enlightening. Hopefully they are to you, too. Kim Jordan said earlier today that, or was it yesterday? Sorry. Yes, it was today. No, it was yesterday. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That the primary function of marketing is to give the overall brand image. It's to sell your beer. It's to take something to market. Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. Come on. We're all doing it.
I promise
to market properly
to all my consumers
and my future customers. Thank you. You have got to know your market. If you don't know your market, you have no business being in business. That may be an unpopular sentiment, but it's true. If Gail Goshi up here did not know who was buying her hops from Goshi Farm in Silverton, Oregon, which is a lovely place to visit, by the way, she would have no business being in business. As it is, you're what, third, fourth generation? Third. Okay, clearly, they know something. They know a whole lot more than something. You have got to know your market. That is where it starts. If you're looking for new market share. Are you looking for new market share? Anybody looking for new market share? Yeah? Yeah, that'd be a big old fat yes. If you're looking for it, look to women. Look at the flavor. Look at what they've had. Look at what you can do for them. Start with all those things that should be pretty basic. I want you to put those in your arsenal. I want you to use them ruthlessly. You will see success. Kim is right. The primary function of marketing is to bring your product to market. If you don't bring that, you can't drink all your beer. I don't care how you feel about your beer. Because if you can't drink it all, you're SOL. You have got to pay attention to what the consumer wants. Now, does that mean you lose your brand identity and your personality? Well, of course not. I wouldn't suggest that for a second. I would highly recommend, pointer finger wants to come out, but I will not let it. I would highly recommend that you take a hard look at who you are marketing to and who you really want to reach. Who is it that you want? There are brands out there that are neutered. Okay? Yeah, I'll grab that if there's nothing else. There are brands out there that are controversial. There's two sides of that kind. Oh my God, this is awesome! And there's like, oh, no thank you. And then there's brands that are everywhere in between. Think of a label that appeals to you. Maybe it's your own brand. Maybe it's somebody else's brand. Think about why that label appeals to you. And it can be anything. I mean, it can be beer, it can be cheese, I don't care what it is. Think about why that label resonates with you. Why do I go back to that? Why am I drawn to that image? Clearly, some marketer somewhere put some thought into that and realized that they need to resonate with somebody that would want to buy their product. What happens when they buy your products? You get market share? Do you make a living? Yeah, we all need to make a living, right? Making a living, marketing, those are not dirty words. I heard my friend Otto from Schlafly, who some of you probably know too, who won one of those lovely awards yesterday, talking to me one day. He says, Ginger, you know, I think some of your challenge is that people think marketing is a four-letter word. I think he's right. But let me remind you that so is beer. It's all in your context. So I posted that survey. I got dozens and dozens of responses. And I think one of the reasons we get so many responses is that we are neutral. We are Switzerland, as I like to say. We don't have any vested interest in any brewery's success. I am interested in representing what women everywhere think about beer and what their relationship is. I can't tell you how many smiles I've gotten. People are like, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so. And I say, hello, I'm Ginger with Women Enjoying Beer. Oh, what do you do? You know, we're Americans. What do you do is one of the first things out of our mouth. Oh, well, I'm a beer researcher and educator. Really? I get, oh, that's funny. And I never quite know how to respond to that. Really? This is dead serious, man. I spend 50 hours a week working on this. I don't find it funny at all. Back off. No, I'm just kidding. They don't quite know how to react. Thankfully, you have something that should provoke at least some sort of comfortable range of reaction. I make beer. Boy, a lot of days I wish I did make beer. I wish it was that simple for me. But it's not, because I love representing what women think about beer. It's unbelievable. And I did have it asked today, would you give me some counseling? I'm getting married. No, I will not go there. I got a lot of, this is very psychology based. And it's really fascinating. It's really interesting. I share lots of information on my blog if you're interested. My site is loaded with stuff. Please feel free to use it as you wish. But there's nobody else out there doing it. So I think that the floodgates have been opened. And then I think that the opportunity to engage women in our recent memory, they haven't been. Now's the time. Now's a perfect time. The industry's exploding. There's lots of great women in here. There's lots of great women everywhere. You already all know one, clearly. So why does this matter to you? It matters to you. There's a lot of redundancy, as you've noticed in this speech. Hopefully you take some permanent takeaways from this. It matters to you because women spend how much of the dollars? 75 to 85%. I make sure that I'm up on that. That's reiterated over and over in lots of different avenues, in lots of different industries who are paying attention to those numbers. Everybody should pay attention to those numbers. Why is that number important to your brand? Jason, what was that?
Who makes
decisions? It's who makes the decisions. Do you want your brand to be successful? Yep. Well, of course you do. You wouldn't have invested all the money just to be here if you didn't care. I hope. Once again, there's the door. But come on, seriously, this is not hard. Think about who's making those purchases. If you want your brand to survive, you better pay attention to who you want. Now, maybe you don't want women. Great. Good luck. You're going to be sorry because they make the purchases. Little story I'll share with you. So we all know, or we're all going to know in about 2 seconds, if you don't know this already, it takes a lot of beer to make great wine. All right? That's absolutely truth. I'm a cross drinker. Hopefully, so several of you, that's Julia's term. Julia, I think she started that, didn't she? Julia Hurst. So it takes a lot of beer to make great wine. So I've got a friend in Southern Oregon where our worldwide headquarters are, and Cara makes extraordinarily high-quality wine. Love going out to her vineyard. It's beautiful. She and her husband are both winemakers, and it's really interesting. And I tell you what, I learn about beer every time I go out there, because it's transposable information. I am not extolling wineifying beer or beerifying wine. That is not what I'm saying, once again. Just to dash that in case that starts creeping in. She is the primary buyer. I interviewed Cara. It was included in a craftbeer.com article I did on winemakers and beer. It was just kind of a fun article. David Walker was in there and some other people. But she told me that she buys the beer. Okay, Cara, how much beer do you buy every week? I buy 4 to 6 six-packs a week. Okay? One customer. That would be nice. 52 weeks a year. How much of that do you suppose she drinks? Not very. Not very much at all. Cara is the classic taster. I want to try everything. That, my friends, is what you want. You want somebody who can't wait to put their lips on a glass of Cold Spring beer because she's excited about it. She wants to get her glass full of Odell's. She wants to try everything she brings home. That's who you want. She's buying. She's not consuming all of it. Heck, it might even be a gift. Those are the kinds of things we have to think about. She is the buyer, though. Make no mistake. Does that mean that men don't buy beer? Well, of course not. That would be an insane suggestion. Yes, ma'am.
Your comment about beer and wine and the either-or, which I totally agree with on cross-drinkers.
Yes.
Well, I think the wine industry has done an admirable job of marketing to women, and that is why they are so successful. They do it in the marketing of how they present to point of sale. They do it in the aura of the whole industry. They do it in how they package, how they pair with food. The whole thing is wrapped up with a pretty button, and it appeals to women.
Yes. Yes, Julie, it's good to see you again, by the way. Are you still down under?
Still down.
All right. Julia's right. Her comment was the wine industry has done a really good job at bringing the female consumer in And she's absolutely right. We can take a lot of nods, and I believe that a lot of brewers are taking a look at that. That should be a good place to look. They're doing a great job. One of my favorite exercises in focus groups is to do a fantasy ad, so we're going to all do that since I'm a real crowd participation kind of person. What I want you to do is I want you to shut your eyes, and go ahead, everybody's doing it. Shut your eyes, and I want you to envision your ideal beer ad. Shut your eyes. I can see they're still open. They're blue. Shut them. Thank you. Well, envision your ideal beer ad with you in it. Apparently there's some humor involved, which is good. All right, you may open them. When I do that exercise, and I'd love to hear them, so if anybody wants to share with me afterwards, feel free, as long as it's, you know, reasonably family-friendly. Although I do like the word flocculate, and that's perfectly safe in this crowd. The interesting thing, yet it makes perfect sense, universally, when I do focus groups around the country, one of the most common themes is I'm sitting, and these are women, of course, I'm sitting around with a bunch of female friends, we're just enjoying a beer. We're sitting on my deck, we're sitting at the pool, we just went on a hike, we're sitting on my couch, and it just resonates. Does that make perfect sense for everybody? Don't we all want to enjoy the company of our friends? Beer, as we all know, is an extremely social libation. I find it fascinating that over 50% of the women that do that exercise come up with the same scenario every time. All ages, all makes and models. It's fabulous. If you're a brewer and you want to run with that idea, you go right ahead. You can give me royalties later. It is so simple. It's so simple. It's so much common sense. That's what I'm getting at. If we don't get that, we got to throw out the baby and the bath and start over. We've got to remember those kinds of things. So I have 50 questions on that survey. Of course, there's no way to even run through them. And I don't know if anybody looked on their jump drive before and looked at the questions that I put out there. I'll give you an overview. It's everything from why do you drink beer to why do you like beer, which are different questions. They yield different answers, both useful. To how do you feel like you're addressed as a woman? How do you feel like you're marketed to as a woman who enjoys beer? Wow, that's all over the map, although there's definitely common threads. To where do you like to drink beer? You know, that would seemingly be a really basic question. We probably don't even think about that stuff, but we're too close to it. Never remember, those are the shoes of my customer, not these. Always remember that, step back, get their opinion. Those are the kinds of things we constantly have to keep in mind. So I don't know if anybody looked at any of those questions and had one that they want me to focus on, because I'll take it if you want it. Otherwise, I'm going to go through a couple more, and then I'm going to open it wide up. I know what I know, and I know what hundreds of women all over the country have told me. You know what you want to know from me. So there's the mic. Step up anytime. Let me share this one, because I think this is a particularly prescient one. The question is, if I use the term craft, what does that mean to you? If I use the term craft, we all of us in this room have some pretty close definition or similar definition, whether we like it or we don't like it. We all seem to have an idea of what craft seems to mean. Guess what? We are not the consumer. Most consumers don't know, don't have a distilled definition of what that means, and frankly, some of them don't care. That is an industry term. Am I saying throw it out? No. I'm saying be aware of what your customer thinks. Where's the level playing field? Are you defining this before you're talking to them? How many of you have customers that say, well, what is an IPA? Pretty common, right? You're describing a style. Do the same thing with other terms you use. Drop the flocculate. That's such a fun one. It just makes people smile. You know, use sparge and Lauterton and, you know, whatever you want to use. But define it. Education, education, education. That is the core of what I do. I'm listening to the women, compiling all their information. They want education in return. I do a ton of pairings and tastings and glass education and all these really fun things that we all love. Why wouldn't the consumer love them? And that's really good for our business. I'm going to take a leap of faith that we all know that tastings are a smart idea, yes? All right. Here's another key. And you can write it down if you want, or you can, you should remember this. When you taste, add some food. Don't just taste the beer. Here's why. I have had women wag their finger at me and say, Ginger, I don't want just beer. I want food also. Why is that? Why do you suppose they're telling me that? Well, they're telling me that because, of course, we have to eat. Once again, that's kind of irrelevant in this case. They're telling me that because they want to pair the beer and the food. There's a couple components to that. First of all, you should be aware of the responsibility factor. I'm going to assume that we all take that seriously. We are selling alcohol. It's that simple. We need to take responsibility for that. When we serve food without alcohol, we help dissipate the effects. Yes? Okay. That's a good move. It's a smart move. Why else is it good to put beer with food together? Because they want to duplicate it. Oh, great. I just took this class from Gary, and I cannot wait to go home and host one of my own. I'm having a potluck this weekend. I'm going to invite Cheryl and the crew from Nikasi over. We're going to have a great time. I'm going to roll out the dog. We're just going to do cheese and beer. It's going to be really great, simple, simple, simple. They want to duplicate it. How many of us have been somewhere, and we go, oh, it was great. I can't wait to go and buy one of Rodolfo's beer, and I'm going to pair this cheese that I had at a tasting he threw, and I'm just so excited about it. And I want to share it with my friends because we like to share, yes? We like to share our beer. We'll shove our beer on anybody who will take a taste. That's exactly the same idea. People want to enjoy beer and food together. Women want to enjoy beer and food together. And here's a couple other reasons. One of them is the responsibility factor of the alcohol. But more importantly, in a bigger picture, a lot of women are still the primary caregivers. They are somewhat more mindful sometimes of the alcohol they're consuming because they might have people they take care of at home, specifically minors. One of the questions in the survey was, how does being a caregiver affect your consumption? That's really interesting. I have chosen to remain child-free. I love my friends as kids. That's great. I'm not a caregiver. I need to know this stuff because I can't speak first person. The information that came flooding out of just that question alone was remarkable. Well, you know, I've got teenagers in the house. They know we drink, but we don't drink very much. We want it to be a responsible perception. Smart move. I don't drink very much because we don't have the budget for it. Okay, fine. That makes sense. Everybody's got budget concerns. I don't want, you know, there's as many answers as there are people. But a lot of it is the fact that there's a caregiving role, whether it's a minor or a major, as the case may be, with a sandwich generation, if you're in that. Maybe you're caring for somebody elderly or older than you, I should say. Elderly, that's a bad word. They're thinking about that because a lot of women are still a primary caregiver. Keep that in mind. Once again, you're not them. Ask them what they want. Put that beer and food together. And besides, I mean, really, face it, beer and food, is there too many things that are better? No. It's wonderful. It's great. It's so pleasurable. It's so much fun. It's fun to share. It's fun to enjoy. It's fun to repeat all those things. Beer and food, beer and food, beer and food. That is one of the primary things that women want. Who remembers Chick beer? Does anybody remember Chick beer coming out? A few of you? If you haven't heard of Chick beer, it came out, I don't know, a year ago, something like that. Massachusetts. I'm not going to go into the whole story. It was labeled in a six-pack, pink and black, with a sexy little silhouette on the front. I'm not here to disparage. I think it's fascinating. And the backlash online of that beer was, I thought it was phenomenal. What I thought was phenomenal about it was that it got the conversation jump-started. It really strummed a chord. Have you ever seen beer marketed to men with baby blue? Yes, it's ridiculous, isn't it? Please don't pinkify. I'm not going to even go off on that tangent. But think about it. Stay true to the brand colors. You'll be fine. Trust me. The only reason to diverge from that is if you truly do something authentically with somebody who does pink. Let me give you an example. Vinny and Natalie, Russian River. If you haven't heard of them, they're kind of gods in the industry. Great people. They had somebody at their brewery directly affected by breast cancer. So every October during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, they put on the pink. But they do it in partnership with an organization that's where their color is coming from. They don't change their brand. They simply enhance the relationship. You overlap the circles. That's done right. Stick with your brand colors. I know that's slightly off on a tangent, but I want to hammer that home. It's so important. Because what happens when you change your brand image just for something special and it's really not authentic? Cred goes down the toilet. Oh, they're going to change this. What are they going to pander to next? What are they going to change? What are they going to, you know, what are they going to flash in the pan next? So There's a lot to women and beer and relationship therein. It's very important. Stay authentic. Be who you are. Be mindful of who you are, because if you're gonna kind of put out that FU vibe, fine. Just be ready to really narrow your market. If you're going to focus on the quality of what's in that bottle, and if you're going to invest in smart marketing, if you're going to invest in great design, if you're going to invest in putting ideas on that label or that box of how to pair this beer with that food, where do I find more information, not killing it with too much information, look at it from the consumer's eyes, you are going to see success. I give you my personal guarantee. Yes, Julia. Can I comment on, sure. Oh, that's a great question. So can I, Julia asked, can I comment on the Stone Arrogant Bastard? First of all, I think Greg is a great guy, Greg Cook. And that's not what you're talking about, but I still think he's a good guy. I think that, and when I, you know, I don't ask women about specific brands. Brands can hire me to do market research, and then I will focus in specifically. I've had a couple other brands, hey, Ginger, what do people think about X, Y, and Z, or what do women think about this brand? You know what? That's how I make my living. Beside that, the focus group questions come up. I lead them with, what brands are memorable? What brands are memorable, and why are they memorable? There's that why. And Arrogant Bastard comes up, Corona comes up. A whole myriad of brands come up, and they all come up for different reasons. I think the interesting thing about that Arrogant Bastard, which you're specifically asking for, and I believe that a lot of women feel the same. I can't speak for all of them, but I know when it does come up, a lot of them really like it. Because that image, while gargoylean, I don't know if that's the right word, gargoyle-like, and rather gothic, and kind of looks like a male, yet everybody can relate to it. And so I think there's the attitude is what appeals to people, I believe. And there's nothing wrong with attitude as long as it's not offensive. We're not talking about watering down, we're talking about not talking about neutering. There are a lot of brands out there in the market, unfortunately, and a lot of craft beer brands that, in my humble professional opinion, have not put enough thought into who is really seeing their label. Let me give you an example. I know Eugene, the gentleman sitting in front of you, Alamo, has some small children. Would he feel comfortable with them seeing all the labels that are available? You know, ask yourself that question. Are you comfortable with that? Would you bring that to grandma? Seriously. I mean, these are really basic questions, but that's how you have to look at your brand. If that's what you want for your brand, great. Go for it. I don't care. It's up to you. Yes, James. I can believe it. Sure. And the thing, if we're using Stone as an example, the thing with Stone that they do extremely well is they are so authentic. There is nothing fake about Stone brewing. Greg wouldn't have it. Steve wouldn't have it. I mean, they just, okay, so the bigger picture here is that everything is together. There is no one issue. It's all together. It's how much it costs. What does it look like? It's what does it taste like? Have I had it before? Who recommended it? Where am I buying it? What's in season? What am I having with it? Blah, 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 blah. Ad nauseum. There is no one reason somebody buys a beer until they decide that Firestone Walker is one of their favorite breweries, and then they're going to try everything. But you know what? They've already vetted it at that point. They already know quality meter is up. They like this. They like that about it. It's available. Whatever. Whatever their reasons are. You've got to know the why. Yes, ma'am. So the question is, when you're the only set of ovaries in the brewery, how do you convince the other ones that this is important? You and I need to talk separately. I am not in the brewery, but my ovaries have certainly been in several. and I think you ask them the same question I asked when I opened. You know, hey, Sam, let me just ask you, totally neutral, totally unthreatening, tell me one woman that you care about, or one female. I like to open it up to a bit broader. And then they say it. Okay, so do you want to insult them? Do you want them to feel like they're less welcome to some opportunity? Especially if they have kids. Do you want your daughter, your son, to be less open for somebody to disrespect or to have a prejudice, because that's the reverse of leaving the door open. All right, we've got about 10 minutes left. Any other questions? I can keep talking, but I want questions if you have them. So, yes, sir.
With the concern about responsibility in drinking,
yes.
Is there more of a trend, or I don't say trend, but you see a lot of women looking more towards session beers with a lot of flavor versus the super high double IPAs or whatever else?
The question is, with the trend of session beers, do you see women going towards one kind of beer or another? Once again, we go back to the flavor conversation. I find it curious, personally, as a beer enthusiast, that some breweries only choose to focus on super high gravity beers. How many beers do you want to sell to a person in one sitting? That's an economics question. You should want to sell more than one. And if you have 9, 10, 11% beer, even 7, 7.5, 8% beers, what's happening? They're buying high gravity beers. They're drinking those high gravity beers. There is some level of inebriation. There is no doubt about it. What about that? That's what you have to ask yourself. I think the session beers are wonderful. I love session beers. Yes. Hail to the goddess. I think they're great. And I think from a business strategy, they're really, really smart. You want people to buy beers that they're going to drink on a regular basis, however many at a time, responsibly. I mean, whatever your opinion is, I'll get to you in just a moment, thank you, of the really large houses, they've done some things extremely well. They know how to sell beer. They've invested in the marketing. Maybe they have and haven't done research. I mean, we're not here to debate that, but their beers are sessionable. We can have multiple without having ill effects. So even if you have a higher gravity beer in your lineup, make sure that you consider having a session beer. Beer bars are getting popular. Great. Some of them only have high gravity. Well, I like all beers, and I'm not a beer racist. I'll drink anything. But really, if I'm going somewhere with friends, I want to have something that's sessionable. I think that's smart no matter who you are. And when you look at the physical ergonomics of things, I weigh 140 pounds. I don't know how much Gary weighs, but I'm going to say he weighs about 160, 175, something like that. He weighs more than I do, okay? So... So Gary can safely have maybe 3 beers. I can safely have 2. That's another thing to consider when you're considering the female market share. The sidebar on that is if you don't sell half pints, if you pour draft beer, don't even think about not selling half pints. Do it. Everybody can have more. They can try more flavors. That's why flights are so popular, right? Ooh, variety. It's the spice of life. The biggest category is what? Seasonals, consistently. Why do you think that is? They want to try different things. You're going to still have great margin. In fact, your margin can be better on your half pints than it can your pints. Yes, sir, back there in the yellow shirt. That is an excellent question. Thank you, my good man. The question is, those of us that have female brewers in the brew house, we need to be really careful as an industry that we don't backlash on a couple of things. One is beer snobbery. Raise your hand if you want to hang out with a wine snob. Okay, don't be a beer snob. Seriously. Don't take pride. Don't call yourself a beer snob. That is not good for the industry. Who wants to hang out with a snob? I sure as hell don't. So if you're looking at the gender of your brewers, there's a couple ways you can approach it. First of all, of course, don't pander. Focus on talent. Just like in the keg, in the bottle, in the can, what are you going to focus on? Quality. Quality, quality, quality. Are these people the best people for your brewery? That's the first question. If you feel is that a yes? Okay, great. Highly qualified. I would look at the qualifications above. Nobody likes quotas. It just conjures up a bad thing for all of our brains. And there's a balance, though. I understand what you're saying is, should we have a female just to have a female? No. Don't you dare do that. Because if it's the wrong person, it's the wrong person for everybody, including that person. Don't put them in an impossible position. Oh, we have to have a female. Isn't that cute? Isn't that clever? Isn't that what it is right now? No. No, no, no. The right person is the right person. Should you seek diversity in your brew houses, in your business? Yes. You absolutely should. There's no doubt about it. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a sociologist. But I read some studies on the fact that women and men bring different things to the table. There's no doubt about it. We have different talents, and they're complementary talents. That's the power in the mojo. That's what you look for. How many of you have brewers of both genders in your brew house? Great. Yeah. And really, I mean, wouldn't it be great if we did this blind? Just like I wish we all drank out of opaque glasses. I wish we couldn't see what we were drinking when we first started drinking, because we would dash a lot of beer racism. It's the same thing with the qualified candidates. Don't pander, don't quota, just look for the right person. Can you encourage more people that are not, can you encourage a population that is not more in the industry? Absolutely. And there are different ways to do that. We can talk about that later. I used to be in the hardware business. Tons of parallels, people. I never had a problem finding a bathroom at the conventions. So there's something to it. Yeah, but it's, I wouldn't say it's necessarily delicate, but it's something to be aware of, and it's something to handle properly. So that's an excellent question. There was another one over there somewhere. Or maybe over here. Yes?
Have you noticed a trend in styles of women like or don't like, or a false perception?
Oh, what is your name, my good man? Jason. Jason asked if I noticed a trend in style preferences among women. Is that the nutshell? Yes, women like flavorful beer. And that is a trend that will continue forever. In all seriousness, you know, don't cut their opportunity short. Assume that they want flavor. Give them something to try. Somebody earlier today said, okay, so I'm at the beer festival, Ginger, and somebody's coming up, and they say, oh, I don't like bitter beer. Okay. That's fair enough, right? As humans, we're conditioned to, you know, bitter really isn't something that we generally go towards, with the exception of our beer, and we can't help ourselves. So I suggested, I'm like, you know what, before you answer that question, simply hand them this and say you have an IPA, for sake of example, ask them, do you like grapefruit? Like 50-50 chance, pretty good chance of them saying yes. Do you like citrus fruit? Those kinds of things that come up, and she, of course I know she likes citrus fruit. She just told me she likes citrus fruit. Hand them something that has some citrusy flavor to it. But would you be willing to just try this? Have them play along, be nice, be authentic, let them taste it. If they wrinkle up their face, okay, thanks for trying it, that was our IPA, give them something else. Assume that you're going to give them a new flavor that they're going to like. Oh, that's also where the food component comes in. As much as possible, pair beer and food together. Because what happens, one of my favorite pairings is a really crisp IPA, something that has Centennial and Cascade in there, real florally, citrusy, really fresh, with fresh ruby red grapefruit, not white grapefruit, and a really sharp cheddar cheese. Yes! The beer goddess has smiled once again. How many of you had that combination? How many of you are going to go try that combination? Yes! Get them into those kinds of flavors. Open up the suggestion world and let them know there's lots of ways to think about their beer. Don't use the word bitter also. Wait until they are more of an advanced or comfortable beer drinker. What are some other words you can use besides bitter? Hoppy doesn't mean anything to consumers. Play again.
Dry.
Dry maybe? Crisp? It's got some snap to it. It's got a bite. Those kinds of things. Ask them how they would describe this beer. Would you please try this beer? They try it, like, oh. So how would you explain that beer? They're going to give you a couple of descriptors. There's your informal research with the person that's put it in their mouth right now. Use it. Find it. It's right there in front of your face. It's right there in your glass. Does that answer some of your question? All right, great. What else? Throw me something else. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the question is, how do you tactfully and appropriately invite women's only into a women's only event? Is that the nutshell? Right. Maybe you have. Okay.
So the. Formally,
sure. So how do you do that appropriately? Thank you so much. What's your name?
I'm Tom.
Tom. Thank you, Tom. And where are you at, Tom?
Reno.
Very good. Okay. So raise your hand again. Let's go. Come on. Play the game. Repeat after me. I promise not to ever throw a ladies' night. What do you think of ladies' night? D- dude strolling for chicks, man. Yeah, no, no, no. That's going to be really ineffectual if not going the other way. And it's funny, but it's serious. Universally accepted terms for a female-oriented event, please use women, please use females. Those are the two that I would sanction. Chicks, babes, broads, girls, whatever else, it's not helping anybody. They're disrespectful titles. It's that simple. Are you married, Tom?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Do you love your wife?
Yes.
Do you respect her? Look at these are loaded questions. It's like, yeah. Don't worry, I'm not reporting back to her. Right. Well, what are you supposed to... But do you want to disrespect her?
Of course not.
Of course not. Why are there some of those labels out there then? Why does that persist? That's a great damn question. That's right. Don't do that. Don't perpetuate it. Don't encourage that. We don't... Okay, this is... Yeah, anyway, I'm not going to go off in another tangent. So how do you do it right? How do you do it right? First of all, ask them. What do you want? What would make a great event for you? What would you bring? Get you to bring some of your other friends in of the female persuasion, maybe of the male persuasion? And I'll sidebar, go on the record, say, we specialize in women and beer. I absolutely extol men-only events and mixed events. This is not a one-sided conversation, because if we're not both at the table, nobody's getting ahead. Ask them what they want. Ask them how they want it. Don't pink it up. Find something that resonates with them. Beer and cheese is such a classic entree. I mean, it may be old hat to us, but it's still brand new to millions of American women. Yeah. Get that out there. Throw it. Have fun with it. One thing that I'm asked to do on a regular basis is I give a talk called Herstory, Women in Brewing. And our fine Julia Hertz, who's in the back of the room, who I love dearly and she knows it, has witnessed this talk. And it's a fun way to talk about the historical aspect of how women have always been involved in brewing. Always. Ninkasi, the Sumerian goddess of fermentation. Isis, Ra's daughter. Katharina of Bora, who, by the way, married a guy that some of you may know named Martin Luther. I mean, women have always been involved in brewing. Make that assumption that they want to be back in it again. Give them an opportunity. Throw something fun that resonates, that's not pandering, yet is focused. There is absolutely something to single-gender events. Absolutely. Irrefutably. I never would have thought it before I started this business. It's absolutely true. It's remarkable. I can't put my finger on it, but it's true. There's a safety in the same gender. Whether it's all women or it's all men, whatever it is. There is a safety to education in a very, Atlas shrugs. You're like, oh, I'm going to ask every question now. There's no tension of any sort. There's no pretext. And even though people say, oh, yeah, I'll ask anything no matter what, they're lying. It's just who we are as humans. Have fun with it. Pick a theme that resonates with your brand and what you're doing. And with them, you'll have smashing success, Tom. And tell me how it goes. And I'd be happy to come as a guest. Yes, Rodolfo.
Does women think that they don't belong in the beer world? Think themselves in the wine world?
Sure, good question. Ralph was asking, do women think that they don't belong in the beer world? Do they belong in the wine world? People walk through the doors that are open. What door are you opening up? Ralph was in Mexico, different market than most of us are experiencing. Women are women everywhere. So I don't think it's that they don't think that they should belong, but I think that, and when I say I think, it's based on research, it's because they haven't been invited to the conversation before. In recent memory, we have really short memories as humans. 50 years ago is forever. We hardly have anybody who went through prohibition in the States anymore. I mean, those people were never going to have their perspective. So keep it in context of how long our memory is. And sorry, Gary, I'm almost done. Okay, well, stay as long as you like. Somebody bring in some beer. They just haven't been invited. So invite them authentically. I touched on the word Corona earlier, and I'm going to share a little story about that. And Corona is an excellent Mexican brand that brings women in. When I have them close their eyes and they think of different ads they have seen, a lot of them come up with the Corona ad. They're sitting side by side, and the nicely fit woman walks by and they look at each other because the guy knows that he knows that he's being watched and she knows that he's just watched that gal walk by, squeezes the lime. That's funny. And it's safe funny. It's intelligent funny. That's the kind of humor that's appropriate. Humor is really important. Super important. So it's not that they don't feel like they don't belong, I don't believe. It's that they haven't been invited. They haven't been invited authentically. They haven't been invited with respect. It's been a quota thing, so it's just this, oh, isn't this great? We're just going to parade this person around. Whether it's a consumer or a professional, isn't this great? We got 5% of females coming in the doors. Pfft, really? You need to work on that. Why is that? I recently featured Moylan's beers at a meetup I did. I do a monthly meetup at where I live in Southern Oregon. It's my own laboratory, as I call it. And I do pairing and tasting. I do a flight of four, keep it at a really reasonable price point. Women come, we taste, we pair, we go. Moylan's sent me some beer, which was really nice. And I was glad to feature Moylan's because Denise Jones is their brewer. And I heard in a roundabout way that I think there was some concern by her that I featured her for women enjoying beer because she was a woman. No. Is it an extra interest point? Yes. Point that out. Just like if I were to say, you know what, I'm featuring this beer, and I know the hop grower. I know Gail. She's this and that and the other thing. She's class act, blah, blah, blah. People want the story. If you haven't heard that at this conference yet either, write it down, put it in your noggin. Women want the story. They want to know the connection. They want to feel tied to that brand. Why do you think sports are so popular in this country? It's nuts. We all want to belong. They want to belong to your beer brand. Give them the right image. Look at your design. Think about what you're doing before you put it out there. You're not going to get any farther behind if you test it in a market as opposed to just launch it. In fact, if you don't test it in a market, what can happen when you launch it? You can go backwards. And that's huge, especially when you're starting it. All right, I will summarize because clearly you know I can go on forever. There are three universals for women and their relationship with beer. And this is on my website, but you can ask me anytime. They want a social component. They want an educational component. And they want value. Don't we all? Social, educational, value. Those are slightly moving targets. A value could be that Rodolfo and I go out and we share a dinner table bottle of this fabulous Mexican beer and it's $22. You know, that's high end for some people. But we're out as friends, we're having a great time. That's the experience. Maybe Gail and I go to the ballpark and we have a $2 pour PBR. That's good value too because it's what's available, we're thirsty, it's a session beer. We're going with the flow. Think of value that way. That's how women think of value. The education, it can be as overt or as covert as you want to put it up there. Tom can have an event and say, beer and cheese 101, that screams class. Great, you're going to get people that engage in that because I want to know about beer and cheese and I'm going to go to this and I'm going to learn. It can be as subtle as a menu. I went out to a restaurant which will remain nameless last night and I was so disappointed. Redheaded stepchild, back page, you know, this much space for the beer. Boom, 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 boom. Really? Flip it over. What do you suppose I saw on the wine page? Oh, you're busting my onion, people. Look at the menus. The menu is a primo place to put the information. Don't be verbose. Just be simple. This beer tastes like X, Y, and Z. Don't use the industry terms. Use the terms your consumers use. If you don't know, ask them. They will tell you. Look at those things. And social. Social component is as woo, crazy, and you know Jason and I go out, and you might hear us yelling yes across the campus. It's an inside joke with he and I, but it's our favorite word because it's a great word. So you know it can be as ridiculous and enthusiastic as sharing it with everybody, or it can be as subtle as just watching it all happen. A wallflower is still the customer you want if they're engaged in your brand. Keep those things in mind. Be authentic. Be real. We already know that, but I'm going to repeat it over and over again. It goes back down to the Q, quality. Go to the Q. Go towards the light. That's the light. It's like bat sign. It's Q. It's all over the ceiling. There's so much more to this, as you can tell, but keep some things in mind. Is your brand going to build goodwill and friendships? I'm a former Rotarian. Maybe some of you in the room are Rotarians as well. And there's a four-way test in there. Is it the truth? Will it build goodwill and friendships? And I think that's really applicable to what we're doing. Is your brand going to build goodwill and friendships? Is it a bridge? We're all having a great time here at the conference. Make sure you take that and share that forward with the consumer. I have cards and pencils on the back table. I'm going to stop now. If you have anything else, you're welcome to ask me. Thank you so much for coming.